Hi, this is Dr. Stephanie Wigner, your podcast host. I'm a speaker, a chiropractor, a business coach, and a multiple seven-figure entrepreneur. I'm committed to helping wellness practitioners just like you build the business and the life of their dreams. Together, we'll dive into increasing profit, hiring the right team, and buying back your time so that your life can begin to prosper. Learn how I'm increasing my wealth and building a legacy without sacrificing those that I'm building it for. This is the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Hello, you beautiful people. Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Today, I have a very, very special guest with us, joining us all the way from Australia. I have Dr. Ellie Ralph, and she is the owner of Restore Chiropractic, and she is going to share some of her entrepreneurial story and just how she got into TWP and some of the unlocks she's had. Also, since being a part of our community, I know that often we get a lot of interest from people overseas, and they're like, those Americans over there, I don't know. They just have it a little bit of a different way. And Dr. Ellie and I connected first on Instagram several months ago, and I liked her vibe and she liked my vibe. And then that's kind of how we got connected. So we're going to dive all into that after we hear a little bit about your story. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited. This has been quite a long process to get here. I think we first connected with the 90 Day Sprint at the start of the year. And then we spoke about this podcast in like May, I think. So I'm really excited that it's finally here.
Yeah, we had to coordinate our schedules because it is 5:30, almost 6 here, and it is 8:30, 9 a.m. where you are. So we found something that worked, finally.
Yay.
So tell the listeners a little bit about your story. I know you started as an associate first before opening your practice. And so what was that transition like?
Yeah, so I, straight out of uni, I moved home and worked as an associate at like my chiro where I always went to. I was tossing up to maybe go, you know, somewhere else, go overseas or go to the other end of Australia, but we decided to come home. It seemed like too good of a job to turn down. And, you know, the reason I resonated with you, Steph, so much is because, you know, as you say, you bet on yourself, and I drive my husband insane and just go, I have this idea, we're going to do it. So, you know, we had no money to our name after 5 years of living in Melbourne. It's so expensive. And I said, all right, if we're going home, well, we're not renting, we'll buy a block of land. I literally had no savings. So we scraped together $8,000 before I graduated to buy this block of land so we could move home and eventually build a house here, which is the house I'm currently sitting in. But we thought if we move home, then we can afford to travel and see the world and do all the things and have this really good associate. And we've got family and friends. So that's what we done. We moved home and I worked there for 5 years, and I didn't have any mentoring or any sort of nurturing, I guess, going into this role. I did have one chiro who ended up buying in and becoming the principal chiro, and he was my main chiro, but, you know, male energy versus female energy didn't really match my vibe either and the practitioner that I wanted to be. And I was really the only female that was in that practice. And it really had that hustle culture. Like, you know, there was no, you can see as many as you want in a short amount of time or whatever. It was like, if you want to see a significant amount of patients, or if you want to see over that 150 week, you need to work 6 days. So that was me for 5 years, working 6 days a week, nearly for probably 3 of them years with 6 days a week across 2 practices. So I'd travel to at the sister clinic half an hour away, and I'd do half a shift in or half a day in one, and then the other half back at the other practice. So it was quite full on, which is, I guess, a lot of the things that I had to work through with coming to TWP, changing that mindset of not having to hustle and work 6 days. I can have it all and do it in less. So I'd done that, and COVID was insane over here in Australia and really shifted a lot, and I was just burnt out. And I live in a border town here. I live in New South Wales, but the practice was in Victoria, so I have to cross the river to get there. And we had the army on the bridge, and we'd have to give out our travel passports to get to work. And what would normally take me 5 minutes would take me 3 hours sitting in traffic get home to get cleared by the army. And I was over it. Just so done. So I thought, you know what, stuff this, I'm going to go on locum. So I was actually looking at practices around Australia to go on locum, but then I thought, you know, I'm going to get stuck in another state with my husband and my grudel back home, and who knows when I will get to see them. So at that stage, I was really, really good at writing in my diary and my journal and manifesting. And 6 months before that, I'd written down that I wanted to find my own practice one day. I had this vision of what I wanted my practice to be. And I'd wrote down that I wanted a practice that had windows with lots of the natural light, car parking in Moama because there's no chiropractor in Moama. I've always lived in Moama and I just like that town better. And I thought, well, if I can't go locum, if I'm a little bit unhappy at work, I'm just going to look online and see what there is. And I had, again, no money behind me, nothing. Was not set up, was not planning to do this. It was on a whim. And this place was available. It had an osteo in it. And I thought, I'm going to go look at it. And I didn't really tell my husband. I just called the real estate and went and had a look. And it, the easiest way to describe it is it looked like a drug dealing motel. Like it was a dump. Like the carpet had seen some things. If those walls could talk, it had like green walls. And I walked out and I called my husband. I was like, oh, hey, I went and looked at this place, but it looks like it needs a match put to it. Like, I don't think I should, I don't have the funds to do this. Mm-hmm. So I left it and the real estate called me about a week and a half later and she goes, hey, Elle, just checking if you're still interested. We've got 10 other health practitioners that want it. I need to know what you're doing. And I said, oh, I'll get back to you. I was still a firm no. And then I thought, you know what? What have I got to lose? Like, stuff this. So it was the end of November. I signed the lease on November 30. I resigned on December 1. I was really lucky that I had been there. My contract had, I had a no, there's no non-compete or anything like that. That, like, my boss was actually really great. And I finished up on 3 weeks later at Christmas and we renovated for December and through, I went away skiing up the river for 2 weeks over Christmas, come back and opened on December 4th. And yeah, it just grew organically because I didn't have time to tell my patients where I was going, nor did I want to do that disrespectfully to my workplace. So I just said, I'm taking extended leave. So yeah, with my dad and my husband and my brother-in-law, who's a builder, we just renovated this practice, painted it, laid some new floors. I just got opened with a portable table until I could afford to buy another table because I didn't want any business loans or anything. So I think Farron and I had $20,000 in savings at that time and I used that to start up our business. I stupidly calculated the overheads wrong. You know, I was like, cool, it's like going to cost me like $500 a week. I need to see that many patients to cover that. I didn't add in everything. Looking back, we were not profiting for months. But that then has organically grown and I opened a month later a practice in Kyabram, which was the other town that I traveled to. And I just rented a room out of a wellness center, which I now have the whole building of that. And yeah, it just grew. And I knew that I wanted to have a baby soon. So I started connecting with 50 chiros around Australia. And I was really lucky to connect with in June. Bronte came down from Sydney, which is 8 hours from here. And she loved my practice. At that stage, I think I'd grown to probably like 100 a week, consistently maybe 150 over 4 days. And I locked her in to come down and start practicing with me in Jan. So that was a massive relief to know that I had someone coming. So then by August, I was pregnant, 8 months into having my first two practices by myself. And then Bronte started in Jan and I had Cove in the following May. And I think at that point, yeah, so then it was Bronte and I for a year and then Talia started the following year. And then I thought I'd always had this dream that I wanted to buy a house to convert into a practice because mm-hmm. I wanted an investment property and I was sick of paying so much rent and I just wanted this really homely feeling. So then started again, my husband's like, we're not doing this. And then again started me just trusting myself, looking and talking to real estate agents. And I finally, after 12 months, found the house. And that's where we are now. So really sink or swim mentality, I guess, is which is why I was so drawn to your coaching. I just knew.
Yeah, you have that full send energy, full throttle, all in.
Yeah, I give my husband a heart attack, but it's been worth it. It's fun.
Yeah. So you had the two practices when you found TWP. And by that point, when you had had your own practices, you had already done some coaching too. So you didn't really have mentoring while you were an associate, but as you found different mentors that you had worked with, I think part of the transition of you coming to us and some of the conversations we had too was like, okay, well, how was it different? And it's sometimes hard to describe. So I would love to hear from your point of view how it was different. Because I feel like our community and our energy is a lot different than other programs out there. And you either love that or you don't. And I feel like for you, it was just like, oh, okay, finally, like it was just people who got it.
Yeah, so I'd have had maybe 3 or 4 chiro coaches. One was an American male who a lot of my friends here coached with, so came really highly recommended. And then I had 2 or 3 female Aussie coaches, and I learned beautiful things from all of them. And, you know, it's like that saying that people are there for a season or a reason. Totally. And they were definitely my seasons. And I learned what I needed from them at that time and place. But I feel like because I didn't have that mentoring when I first started as an associate, like I opened my practice not knowing how to really do a new patient well, or how, like, I really was just growing a patient base because people were attracted to my energy and how I was caring for them. But I didn't know how to do a care plan to save myself and get long-term results. And I'd, you know, done a PEDS diploma, and I was like, I have all this learning, but I don't know what to do with it. And I feel like no one over here does what TWP does, which is why everything is really calculated. And I guess it was the full send energy of you that was like, you're not batshit crazy for having these ideas and going for them. You actually were like, you can do whatever you want to do. And that's my mentality. So that's why I really liked it. I was hesitant because, you know, in Australia, our guidelines with APRA compared to America is wildly different. So you and I did talk about that because it's like, even the AUD to USD conversion, I was like, this is a huge investment for me, which was the best investment ever. But at the time I was like, how much can I get from this with being in a different country to you guys, not being able to be on the calls and stuff, but your coaching.
That's my favorite part of your story though. That is my favorite part, is you were never on a live call, but you were willing to do the work. Like, you were like, I'm all in. Just because you're doing the calls when I'm asleep doesn't mean that I'm not going to still be locked in with the community. Doesn't mean I'm not going to apply the things that they're teaching and implement them. Like, you would be implementing stuff sometimes before people who were on the live call did, because you're like, okay, I'm up, I'm watching the recording, I'm going to go and do this. And that's what I love about your story a lot too, is that like, we have a million excuses as to why we can't do things. And you just abolish those excuses.
I just felt like I'd found my people though. Like, I really wanted to be surrounded by women, especially there was a massive limiting belief from my first associate position that, you know, you can't be a mom and a business owner. You can't do it all and have it all. And they thought I was mad for wanting to do that. So to have found this group of women who were high achieving women, but also had motherhood and had that softness to them and could also have it all at once, and as you say, do this and that, was just like music to my ears. And I thought, I have not found a coach that wasn't like, this is the script of, you've got to say this and you've got to do this. I could still be my authentic self and practice barefoot and have my million ideas and go, cool, I'm going to open a house and I don't have any money behind me, but I'm going to sink or swim and make this work and just know that my dreams are worth it, compared to going, we need to see 200 patients a week consistently in X, Y, Z to make this work and it be really logical, I guess. The energy was just so different. It was what I needed, not that like structure. Well, yes, TWP has so much structure and system, but it was also that it's the energy, I think, that you can manifest. And I'm quite into that, obviously. but that it's just how I naturally practice and work as a human. So when I found you guys, I was just like, oh, this is so cool. And FOMO every time you have an event over there. Like, every time I was like, oh man, I want to come. And you're like, you can't come.
We're going to get you to an event in 2026. Now that you had your second baby, we'll let your body heal a little bit. And then you guys got to visit the States, stop in New York, do something and make it to a TWP event.
I know. I can't wait to bring the girls over there. We've done a trip before. As an associate for 6 weeks. And I mean, that was wildly different to what it would be now, like with 2 girls. But yeah, we would love to come.
Yeah, you'll have to come sometime. Well, and recently too. So like, were you pregnant when you joined the 90-day sprint? You were.
I was. And I was so unwell. Like, I found out I was pregnant Christmas Day. And the 90-day sprint started like the first few days of January.
Yes.
Yeah. But I just loved it so much that it just felt so right. And it wasn't a hard thing. You know, it wasn't like, oh man, I've got to get up and watch this call, or I've got to do this, or Steph said I've got to implement this. Like, I was worried I was annoying you guys in the chat, like the private chat, be like, how do I do this? What do I do this? What are your thoughts on this? I was like, they're going to wake up to a million messages and be like, this lady in Australia is off her head.
No, but it was great.
I loved it. And I think it was really cool to do it while I was pregnant. And also I loved the support of you girls being like, You know, you're showing your kids, you're creating a legacy mm-hmm. for them, and you can do it alongside your kids. You don't have to choose, and it's not like you need to work 40 hours a week to be away from them. So I think, I know you are coaching males now, which is amazing as well, but I think what you've created for females, especially those women who want to become mums, is just magic. Like, it gives me goosebumps to have found somewhere that you can do that and be supported, because that is really rare.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, I feel that there are women that allow their children to be an excuse, whether it's subconsciously or consciously. Sometimes I don't think they even realize that they're doing it, of like, oh, I can't do that, I'm pregnant, or oh, I can't do that, I'm having another baby, or oh, I can't do that because I want to start a family, whatever it is, right? Or I have three kids, I can't do that. Whatever the limitation is there with children, I see it all the time, to where women allow that to be their excuse as to why they don't act on their goals, their dreams, their visions. And so I, one, personally want to rewrite that story of like, they cannot be our limitation. They cannot be our limitation whatsoever. They can absolutely be your activation, and they should be part of your purpose. They don't have to be your whole purpose. Like, shit, part of the reason I want to make a lot of money is to give Jethro a good life, but to also give myself a good life. You know, he is a huge part of that, but we can also put ourselves and our dreams, our wants, and our desires at the forefront too, because everybody in our family wins because of that. And I think that there's women that are like allowing them to be the limitation, and there's women who are like, no, actually, I can't allow another moment to pass by where I don't act towards my goals, because I now have children watching. I have children watching, and I want to be able to tell them that I gave it all I had. And I want to be able to show them, not even tell them, right? Because there's a saying, like, your kids are going to figure out who you are. You better hope they like what they see. And it's like, when you can show them and you're like, I'm building this thing, and I'm working on my health, and I'm working on myself, and it's all for the better of us as a whole unit. I just see that we're like kind of divided in that, and women fall into one or two categories. And my whole purpose is to just activate women to the other category. Like, how can we use our children for fuel? How can we use a pregnancy? And so that's why I loved you were like, oh, I'm newly pregnant, I'm going to be sick as shit, I'm not going to be on any calls live. Like, every limitation that could have held you back. And you were like, and I'm still going to give it my all. And not only did you give it your all, you grew by an insane amount. And also, that's when you found your building and you're like, so I guess I'm going to renovate this building for my second practice.
Yeah, well, I bought that in the May before and only got the permits. Well, I then took over in September, but I was navigating.
But your renovation, right? Didn't it start while you were pregnant?
It started in March. And that's exactly what you were saying of using your kids as an excuse, right? Like, everyone was like, you're doing an owner build. Like, I ran the build myself and the renovation and organized the trades. I was there every day on site, still adjusting at the other practice as well. But Cove was with me the whole time. She's not in daycare. We don't have a nanny or anything much. You're gonna be like, you still don't have a nanny? That's still something I'm working through. To have her watching that and go, I hope she grows up and goes, my mom is a badass. Like, she
totally,
she done all that with us by her side. And Cove's still at home at the practice. Like, I love that she runs in there and she'll play with the kids in the waiting room. And I don't know, just I hope she grows up to go, you can do whatever the hell you want to do, no matter what circumstances you are in. And I look back now and think, like, that's pretty crazy to be doing that, what I'd done while
all pregnant. Of that while you were pregnant, yeah.
And a toddler by your side.
Yeah, I was gonna say, not even a toddler, like a baby still by your side.
But it's so cool. It's just so cool that you can do what you want. But to be in the 90-day sprint, and I knew I had them people behind me to go, you're not crazy. Like, yeah, this, keep going. Like, if it's what you want to do, do it. So yeah.
And cool. I think too, we were chatting a little bit before the podcast, and now you're postpartum and you're like, I want my third practice. That's like, you're one of the crazy ones too, which I love, because I'm very much like that of, well, if we did this, we could do more. If that was hard, then it's only going to get easier. You know, like I the problem when you shoot for more is that you find out what you're made of and you're like, well, if I can do that, now what's next? I can do so much more. Like, and even if you're still in the hard season, which you are, you're newly postpartum, you're having team stuff that's coming up. Like, you're still in the trenches, still navigating it. It doesn't mean that everything's easy, but it's just that permission slip. Like, just because things are, quote, challenging and expansive right now, you can still want more. And I just love that you, even postpartum, still have that fire in you.
And it's really, I caught myself, was it last night or the night before, that my head CA has resigned. And normally I would spiral and I'd be like, what are we going to do? Like, man, I've just had a baby 5 weeks ago. Like, this, do these people not get it, right? But I came home and I walked out of the practice and I had my two babies with me and I went to drop off some products and not expecting this to happen. And I come home and I said to my husband, he was too busy pretending to be Batman that he didn't listen to me. I'm trying to scare the kids. And I was like, Farron, I'm not going to let this define me. I'm not going to let this consume me. And he's still like roaring these Batman noises. And I'm like, is this guy listening to me? I'm trying to have a really level-headed moment. And I'm like still talking, going, this is going to be okay. Like, yes, this is less than ideal and not what I wanted. But you know what? I trust that this is going to work out. And Farron didn't even like register this. And I'm like half an hour later, go, I'm not even that stressed. And he goes, what are you on about? And I was like, did you not hear that I said that our head CA has resigned? And he goes, oh my God, no, I did not hear that. And I'm like, oh my God, males, hey. But I had this moment of, before I probably done 90-day sprint, I would have lost my marbles and being so frantically stressed. But I feel like I'm well-versed and seasoned in this and have learned, unfortunately, the hard way that you can't, that staff are going to come and go. And it's going to be probably the most hardest part of running a business is keeping employees for whatever reason, and that someone else will come and it'll be okay. But I feel like that was a light bulb moment. I really sat there with myself and gone, this is a TWP reprogramming has happened to me to be okay with these big, what I would have thought were big stressful things. And I'm like, all right, cool. We've got to find another CA. Awesome.
That gives me goosebumps. That gives me goosebumps because it is about building your resilience, right? And your confidence within yourself as a business owner. It's like making you bulletproof. Like, are you not going to get bullets like thrown at you every day in this game of entrepreneurship? Like, yes, you are. But what, when you're dialed in with your vision, which you are, and when you learn just like the nobody can throw you off your game and that mental resilience that you just build through being in it, truly in it, is unmatched because that's so true. Like, you're not going to get knocked off your game by somebody quitting because that would be outsourcing your power to somebody else. And you're like, oh, you actually don't dictate whether or not I'm successful.
And that's exactly it. I was like, I don't want to give this power and consume me and distract me from my babies. Like, I have a 5-week-old beautiful girl and I don't want to sit here on the couch, like holding her and be disconnected and be going, okay.
Oh my God, let me get on and interview.
I've got to worry about that. Yeah. Yeah, I was like, you know what? Someone's going to come up. And someone did. Like, I haven't hired them yet, but we have a patient who, again, this is TWP mindset, right? It's a patient who, and I remember talking to Nikki about this when I was hiring Troubles in 90-day sprint. We have a patient that I'd like to probably hire. Yep, they might not be able to work as fast as I'd like, but they're older, they're more stable. And I feel like I've had to jump through all these hurdles to get to this point to go, you know what, that's actually probably what we need. Yeah, I'm a man, Jen, and I'm insane and have a million ideas and run at 200 mile an hour. But I probably need someone a bit slower on the front desk at some time that's like, I'm not going anywhere for 5 years. I've lived here forever. This is what I'm doing. And I feel like before 90-day sprint, I would have overlooked her because I would have went, oh, nah. We need someone that can like work at a million miles an hour and match my energy and vibe, which, yeah, is probably important at a certain aspect. But I've had that and it hasn't worked. So now I'm able to
It's just being open to something else.
Yeah,
right?
And rationally look at it. Whereas I feel like if I hadn't had these conversations with you in the coaching, I would have been like, oh my God, I need to go this other way. So it's so many ways that TWP still influences. And I, you know, we've been going back and forth in DMs going, this baby needs to come so I can get back in the coaching because I wanted to be all in to have my dream home birth. And
which you did. So ready
to get, I did. It was magic. It was actually so fun. I can't believe birth gets to be that good.
Like, oh, please tell me, girl. Tell me that more, please. I need to believe that.
Well, it's funny because of all your podcasts that I've listened to and stuff, what was I listening? It must have been a podcast that you'd done recently and you spoke about your first birth. I didn't realize that you had a home birth transfer. And it's funny because I had my first with Cove was a home birth transfer. And this last 2 years or 1.5 to 2 years up to Rami's birth, I have worked with a beautiful kinesiologist and who's in Byron Bay. So she's 16 hours from me. And every 2 or 3 weeks I've worked with her and unpacked so much literal crap that I was holding on to that would have impacted Co's birth. And then I was listening to you. I don't know where you were talking about.
I was probably on the Worthy and Wealthy podcast.
Oh, yes, it was. Yeah. I've listened to so many different avenues of you lately. I'm like, which one was it? And I was like, oh my God, I didn't know Steph had that either. And also you were speaking about all the things that would have gotten your way of having your dream home birth. So I was like, well, again, another moment of these are my people. I don't care what it freaking costs to be coached by these women. I am in, because I just knew again, it was another solidifying moment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a beautiful home birth. My midwife didn't even make it. It was so family centered. It was 4 hours compared to my 26 hours with Cove.
Wow.
I hated the birth pool. I don't know how women love a birth pool. But I, it was just, yeah, it was so beautiful. It was myself, my husband and Cove and our Groodle, who's also a child, for the first 3 hours. My mum come in to hang out with Cove until my sister got here, but then my mum didn't end up leaving. My dad ended up being in the backyard with my sister's 3 kids, and Cove was just like coming in and out of the shower to check on me. And I just can't believe how easy it got to be. Like when you've actually done, again, what you talk about, done the work on yourself and know what you want. And again, I manifested that. I wrote down, I thought I'd left it a little bit late. I went to nearly 42 weeks with Cove and it was about, I would have been late 39, nearly 40 weeks. And I thought, I'm going to write down what I want. This might be a little bit too late to write it in my journal. I might have left it a bit late, but I'm going to write it down anyway. And I really wanted like a birth during the day because Cove was at nighttime and I didn't like that. And I really wanted like my sister to get here because she missed Cove's birth. And I wanted it to be fun and playful and not like that consumed panic,
yes,
like exhaustion feeling after a marathon labor. And I wanted them to be born in 2 pushes, which, you know, can be a chiropractor's worst nightmare because of how that can put tension on the dural sheath and everything. But I wanted it to be, I really wanted this birth like this. And it happened.
That's amazing.
Like, Rami was the most beautiful birth in the shower. She was born in 2 pushes. Like, it was painful, but it was like, I felt like I could do anything after that.
And I was going to say, so empowering. So empowering.
Like, this is that feeling of women giving birth and they are like, I could literally take on the world.
Anything.
It was just amazing. And I wish everyone got to feel it. Like, But I don't know if I would have if I didn't do all the work that I'd also
work. Right.
Done.
And that's the thing. Like, that's why I tell everybody, and I sound like a broken record at this point, but like, everything you want is on the other side of doing the work. And it's not, everybody's like, oh, it's a strategy. Like, you couldn't strategize your way into a perfect home birth. It's releasing the fucking control and releasing the plan. And like, you can manifest it. You can put intentionality there. Same thing goes for our business. Like, it's crazy how similar they are, right? When you could just like trust and lean in and know that it's all working out for you, it gets to be better than you even imagine.
It's so cool. I want 10 of them now. I get the addiction of a beautiful home birth. But it's the same as business and that. But the stuff that I worked on throughout that time was involved business stuff, involved beliefs from when I was a 3-year-old.
There totally.
Was lineage stuff that I'd inherited. Like, it's about finding the right people around you, which again, the coaching and other practitioners that can support you to do what you need to do and move what you need to do. And I'm so excited. I've even messaged my kinesiologist, who's become like a really good friend. I'm like, so these are my business ideas. What do we need to move? And she's like, girl, you've just had a baby. Like, you just sit on the couch and be
rest for a minute.
But it's also so linked.
It is.
It's beautiful.
I love that so much. I love this conversation because I think there's a lot of women that listen to this show that are just going to be like so seen and feel seen, and just know that when you bet on yourself, everything works out in your favor. And there are more women in this world that need to be wealthy, that need to be empowered, that need to be excited about what they're building, because we truly hold all the power. I feel like as the matriarchs of our families and as the women that are here to create a new normal for our families, we hold all the fucking power, and it's time that we take it back into our hands. So I loved this conversation for that entirely. So thank you so much for joining me today on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Hey there, do you struggle with using multiple softwares to run your office? Well, I have the perfect solution for you. Genesis Chiropractic Software by Clinic Mind. This all-in-one system and billing service is cloud-based and designed by chiropractors for chiropractors. Its automated workflows streamline every aspect of your practice, from efficient billing processes that increase your collections to easy-to-use dashboards and retention tools that will keep your patients compliant with your care recommendations. We all know it's not just about getting more new patients, but also keeping the ones you do have happy. If you're interested in improving your office with a proven platform that works and want things to stop falling through the cracks, check them out at genesischiropracticsoftware.com. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. If you liked what I shared with you today, please rate the show and share it with your friends on social media. To connect with other practitioners just like you, join our exclusive Facebook group, The Wealthy Wellness Practitioner, where we continue the conversation about building profitable businesses. See you next week.